Today we're going to continue our study on the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And so far on our study we've looked at the fruit of love and joy, and today we're going to look at peace. But before we begin our study today, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for being the great God that thou art. We thank you for this time to open up thy very words, to study them, Lord. We pray you'd bless our study today on the fruit of peace, the fruit of the Holy Spirit. We pray that you would bless the listener today, the saint of God, that would be built up and strengthened in the things of thee. And we pray it'd be a lost soul today listening that's never trusted Jesus Christ's shed blood and that alone to pay for all their sins, past, present, and future, and to secure them a home in heaven. That this would be the day that they would call upon the name of the Lord from a heart of faith, trusting only his shed blood and nothing else to save them and secure them a home in heaven. Father, we'll be thankful for whatever you'll do this day. We commit this time into thy hand, and we ask it all in Jesus' precious name. Amen. The fruit of the Spirit, peace. Now, the world in which we live is seeking peace. And you hear it all the time, do we not? Every generation has sought peace in one way or another. Many believe that peace is simply the absence of war. But my dear friend, this is not true. Peace is not the absence of war or even the absence of trouble. Peace, it is rather the fruit of the Holy Spirit. First of all, number one, we want to look at and see how the Bible, the very words of Almighty God, speak of peace. Turn with me, if you would, to the book of Psalms, Psalm 29 and verse 11. The words of God say this, "The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace." Yes, peace, true peace, that only God can produce in the believer's life is a blessing. Continuing on in the book of Psalms, look at Psalm number 37 with me in verse number 11. Psalm 37, 11, we read this. "But the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace." Of course, this is a prophetic verse, is it not? Amen. Talking about when Christ will rule and reign for 1,000 years on this earth. Only then will there be true peace on this earth. And those that delight themselves here, who inherit the earth, who are part of his kingdom, will delight themselves in the abundance of peace. The peace that will be brought by only the Prince of Peace, the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, continuing in the book of Psalms, Psalm 119, look at verse 165 with me. Psalm 119, verse 165, words of God say this, "Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them." So we see that great peace is connected with those who love the Word of God. Then if we turn, let's turn over to the Gospel of John, chapter 14. John's Gospel, chapter 14, if you would. In verse number 27. Notice what Jesus says here. He says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." So he's telling his disciples before he leaves this earth, amen, after he's resurrected and at his ascension, he says, "I'm going to leave you something, peace. My peace," his peace, his very own peace that only he can give, he's going to give to his disciples and to us, "not as the world giveth." The world certainly can't give us peace. Amen. And because of this fact, he says, for our hearts not to be troubled or be afraid, because he's left us this peace. He's given us this peace through the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit that indwells each believer. Amen. Turn with me, if you would. Again, we're looking at, number one, how the Bible speaks of peace. Romans chapter 15 with me, if you would. Romans 15, in verse number 13. Romans 15, 13, we read this. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy. See, there's that joy we talked about last time. And peace, in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. Amen. Believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. And through believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, you receive the indwelling Holy Spirit, who produces joy and peace in the believer who is yielded to him. And then in Colossians chapter 3. The book of Colossians chapter 3. In verse number 15, we read this. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. We're instructed to let the peace of God rule in your hearts. And the peace of God cannot rule in your heart or my heart unless, as believers, we're yielded to the Holy Spirit of God, who produces the fruit of peace in the believer's life. So we've looked, number one, at some places in the Bible where the Bible speaks of peace. Number two, we want to look at, there is a beginning to peace. There is a beginning to peace. To find that, let's turn over to the book of Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah with me. In chapter number 9, in verse number 6, the words of God say this. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. Here it is, the Prince of Peace. Now, it's in the context, it's speaking about the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and he gives him many titles, and one of them is the Prince of Peace. Now, the word prince is the Hebrew word for beginner, captain, leader, pioneer. Thus, we want to see that Jesus is the pioneer of peace, the beginner of peace, the leader of peace, the captain of peace. Everything about this thing called peace centers around Jesus Christ. Does not center around the United Nations or any organization that man has created. No, peace centers around Jesus. Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. He is the beginning of peace. This is where peace begins. The third thing we want to see about peace is that peace is mentioned in all but one of the New Testament books. Peace is nowhere mentioned in the first epistle of John. However, the word for peace is used 86 times in the New Testament alone. Obviously, peace is an important theme in the Bible, if it's mentioned that many times, amen? So we've seen so far, we've looked at places in the Bible where it speaks of peace. We saw that Jesus Christ is the beginning to peace, and everything that's centered around peace, all peace centers around Jesus. We see where peace is mentioned in all but one book of the New Testament. Number four, Acts chapter 7, verse 26, gives us the main key to this fruit of the Holy Spirit, peace. So I would have you to turn to Acts chapter 7. In Acts chapter 7, amen, in verse number 26. Notice with me what the words of God say. In the next day, he shewed himself unto them as they strove, and would have set them at one again, saying, Sirs, your brethren, why do you wrong one to another? Now in this verse, peace is not used, but the meaning of it is. Now notice the expression in that verse, and would have sent them, and would have set them at one again. At one is the word peace. Now here is the key. See, not having the God of peace or even the peace of God, but to having the fruit of the Holy Spirit manifested in our lives. This peace is not because of right thinking, not because of getting along with others, but being at one with the Lord. Simply put, this means that you and the Lord are in agreement. Again, amen. We remember that Jesus said, I and my Father are one, in John chapter 10, verse 30. And again, this kind of unity is mentioned in 1 John chapter 5. Let's turn there. The first epistle of John, chapter 5, in verses 7 and 8. The words of God say this. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. Notice the unity. And there are three that bear witness on earth, the Spirit, and the water, and the blood. And these three agree in one. You see, peace, the fruit of the Holy Spirit, cannot be produced in the life of the Christian who is at war, amen, with the Lord. Notice with me what it says in the prophet Amos, chapter 3, verse 3. Very simple. It says, it asks a question, can two walk together except they be agreed? Of course they can. Christians cannot expect communion with God unless they first seek peace with him. When there is not friendship, my friend, there can be no fellowship. Amen? God and man cannot walk together except they are agreed, unless we seek his glory. His glory, not ours. We cannot walk with him. Another thing about peace, amen, is there are two kinds of peace. There is peace with God. Turn with me to the book of Romans, chapter 5, and verse number 1. Notice what the words of God say. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have what? Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Why do we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ? This is because Jesus has made atonement for us with his blood. See? Sinners who come to Jesus for forgiveness are brought to God and reconciled to him. Amen? Notice with me in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, in verse number 18, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18, the Word of God has this to say, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Because of Christ's atonement, his blood atonement on that cross, amen, because of that, we have been reconciled to God the Father. And because of that, he has also given us the ministry of reconciliation so we can tell others that they can be reconciled to God and have the peace of God and be forgiven through the blood atonement of Jesus Christ alone. Turn with me also to the book of Colossians. The book of Colossians, chapter number 1, and verses 21 to 22. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by your wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in his body of flesh through death to present you holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in his sight. Again, this is emphasizing that we have peace with God through the blood atonement of Jesus Christ. Amen. Then we see we have peace with God, and then peace, the fruit of the Holy Spirit. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, we read, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. See? Long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. This peace is a product that is the fruit of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer who does not fight God. The believer, in other words, the believer and God are in agreement with one another. See? And you cannot have that peace unless you are in agreement with Almighty God. You just can't, amen. You just cannot have it. Now, we ask the question, why, number 6, why don't more Christians manifest the fruit of the Holy Spirit? The answer is quite simply, because they're at odds with God. Because they're too wrapped up with their wills instead of God's will. You see, there's something they disagree with God about. There's a lack of fellowship with God because as long as they disagree with God, they cannot walk together. The peace that we're talking about today, this peace comes through acceptance of the will of God for today. You see, you do not know the will of God for tomorrow, but you do know something about it today. Let's look again at the characteristic of the Christian who is filled with the Holy Spirit of God. We saw this, we looked at this verse in our last study, but let's look at it again and again and again. Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 18, we read, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Amen. And then here we see, speaking to yourselves. Here's the joy. Amen. Here's the joy. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, in singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. There's the joy. Joy is God-centered. Amen. You're speaking to yourself. Amen. In spiritual things. Not earthly things or worldly things. And then we see giving thanks always. Here's the peace. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Giving thanks always for all things. Here's the peace. You and God are at peace with one another. You'll give thanks to Him. Amen. For all things. Now look again. We want to look again at the characteristics of the Christian who is filled with the Holy Spirit. Again, in Colossians chapter 3. In Colossians chapter 3 with me. And when you get to Colossians chapter 3, look at verses 16 and 17. Notice what the words of God say. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another, again in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing. Here's the joy. With grace in your hearts to the Lord. See? If you allow that word of God to dwell in you richly, amen. And then it will produce joy. You'll be teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, and singing. And then we're told further, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, do in all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks, here's the peace, to God the Father by Him. You can only give thanks to God if you're at peace with Him. And you can only be at peace, amen, with Him if you're yielded to the Holy Spirit on a daily basis. Mary, the mother of Jesus, manifested this kind of peace. Notice what Mary said in Luke chapter 1. Notice in Luke's Gospel, chapter 1, in verse number 38, notice what Mary said. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word, and the angel departed from her. See? She didn't puff herself up. She realized that she was nothing but the handmaid of the Lord, a servant of the Lord, to serve the Lord according to His word, according to His will. Amen. That's why she had peace, because she was in agreement with the Lord God. Now, Paul, the apostle born out of due time, manifests this kind of peace. Look with me, if you would, to the book of Philippians, chapter number 4, and we begin in verse 10. And again, we realized at the time that Paul wrote this, he was in prison. But notice his words beginning in verse 10. Despite his circumstances, despite his predicament, he says, But I rejoice in the Lord greatly. See? He rejoiced in the Lord greatly, even though he was in prison, that now at last your care of me flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. And he goes on and he says, Not that I speak of respect of want, for I have learned, in whatever state I am, therewith to be content. Paul says, I'm at peace. I'm content no matter what state I find myself in. And he goes on in verse 12, And I know both how to be abased, amen, and how to abound. You know, he knows how to be humble. He knows if he finds himself where he has absolutely nothing, or if he finds himself with everything and everywhere, an abundance of things. He says, And I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. He was at peace no matter what state he found himself. He was content, whether he was up or down. And then he goes on in verse 13, says, I can do all things through Christ, right, which strengtheneth me. Amen? See, despite wherever he found himself, he could have peace because he knows through Christ he could do all things. He could handle his circumstance. He could rejoice greatly. Amen. Even though he was in that prison. See? So, mankind can talk all they want about peace. Amen. World peace, inner peace. But no matter how they try to achieve it, it will never come about. Through treaties, covenants, agreements, whatever it may be, you cannot have peace. It's only something that Jesus Christ can bring, and he will bring, I believe, very soon, when he returns to rule and reign on this earth. For 1,000 years, there'll be peace like there's never been before. But while we wait, we can have the inner peace with God, can we not? If we're yielded to the Holy Spirit, we'll be yielded to God's will for our life in an agreement with him, and we'll be able to walk with him. And as a result, amen, we can have peace. Amen. Peace. There's another verse in Philippians chapter 4 that I want us to look at. And beginning in verse 4 of Philippians 4, it says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing. In everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The peace of God. You can have the peace of God in times of trouble. Amen. In times of anxiety. In times of tribulation, you don't have to worry. It says, be careful for nothing. Don't worry. And the way to have peace with God in those situations is to take everything in prayer and supplication to God. Down on your knees, this is the situation, God. This is what I'm going through. And thank him for what he's going to do. Amen. Make your request be known unto God in the peace of God. That's how you can have inner peace. Not taking it to your counselor, your psychologist, or psychiatrist. Take it to the Prince of Peace, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let your request be known unto him, and he will give you the peace which passeth all understanding, and will keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Will keep you from falling apart. Amen. The Holy Spirit will produce his fruit in your life as you are obedient to his word. And so the extent to you are obedient to his word, to that extent will this fruit be manifested. It might be interesting to note that those who lack peace also lack joy. Those who lack joy also lack real Bible love or charity. I ask you today, what is stealing your peace? In other words, what are you and God fighting about? Why not try to submit to the Lord and say, as Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And that's the fruit that's produced, the fruit of peace that's produced by the Holy Spirit if we're yielded to him. Well, I hope you'll continue to join me next time, Brother Gino, as we continue our study on the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Until then, I pray that God would richly bless you, and good day.